Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. It's Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. And after he called the multitude to him again, he began saying to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." And when leaving the multitude, he had entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, "Are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man."
We are happy to have each one present this morning as we're here to worship our God together. Each of us as brothers and sisters in Christ are blessed to have a Father who has revealed His Word to us. All the things that He wants us to know so that we can one day be with Him are revealed to us in the Scriptures. And we're delighted, of course, to have our visitors with us as well this morning as we worship with you also. Some of you are members of the church, and we're glad that you are worshiping this day, though far from home. That's the way we need to do it anytime we travel. And so we're glad for the Word which we can open and look to for guidance. And we're discussing today the subject of the way of Christ and entertainment choices. You know, these words that we just read from Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 14 there, is where Jesus discusses this issue of eating things. And, you know, the Pharisees had come up with laws. Things had developed over time that were never part of God's law. So they had their traditions. And according to their traditions, there were certain things that were supposed to be observed. Jesus points out, though, you know, you might violate some of these traditions, some of these practices, and you might eat certain things, you might not wash your hands, various things like this, but you won't be spiritually defiled when you do not observe the covenants and the teachings and the doctrines of men. He says, but what you really need to think about is what comes outside, comes from within the heart. And he talks about the things that people are guilty of that defile a person. And he lists these various things that we just read a moment ago. And of course, the interesting thing is that the wicked deeds that one does begin in the heart, don't they? Evil deeds begin in the heart. And so there's a sense in which eating physical foods doesn't defile me spiritually. And yet there's another sense in which taking within me spiritual or mental thoughts, things that can come into my mind, evil influences can change me and cause what comes from within to the outside to be the corrupt things that he describes here. We see, for example, the condemnation that Jesus makes of fornication and of adulteries. And these stem from desires that are within the heart and that come from things that people dwell on, think on. Where did those thoughts come from? It came from putting things within to our minds that then later came out in the actions and the deeds that were a violation of God's will in addition to the evil thoughts. Keeping a pure heart obviously is vital. When we talk about the way of Christ, clearly, the way of Christ involves holiness. It involves purity. It involves not only righteous living and cleanliness of life, but it involves cleanliness of heart and thought, within and without. But outside influences can most certainly change people. We see again and again in the Scriptures examples of evil influence coming upon holy people and those people changing and becoming unholy, corrupt, evil in their living. It happens. And that's really no surprise, no newsflash to us. We understand that we can be influenced by the things around us, by society, by people, by things that we come into contact with. It can change our mind and the way we think on things, either for good or for evil. So when you live your life as a Christian, you have to think about, what do I choose to expose myself to that will help me be a better person, that will draw me closer to God? We just sang that song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." The choices that I make day to day, do they help that happen? Or do they get in the way of that happening? Do I take one step forward spiritually, but then because of my choices, it takes me two steps back? I'm exposing myself willfully to evil things and influences that are corrupting influences, that affect my mind and my way of thinking, that can desensitize me, that can affect the goodness or the evilness of my thoughts. We need to think on such things. Today, as we study together, we're going to talk about, first of all, that the way of Christ requires good stewardship of time. We're going to also talk about how that the way of Christ requires godly influence. And we will then talk about how that the way of Christ requires godly choices. These are the three things we'll be talking about today. And so, as we think about the Scriptures and what is revealed to us by our Heavenly Father, this is our God and our Father helping us to see in a modern day time how the choices that we make will affect where we end up and the kind of lives that we live before the world, for good or for bad. We begin with a focus on this point, that the way of Christ requires good stewardship of time. So we all have time that we can spend each and every day. Nobody has more than 24 hours. And some of that time is spent on things that really we don't have any choice in. You know, we have to eat. We do have to sleep some. We have to work to provide for our families. Or there may be stay-at-home moms who are doing a tremendous amount of work there, bringing up children and doing the things that regard taking care of the household matters. All of these things are necessary things. And then we have time that we can spend to do whatever we choose to do. And when we reflect upon the choices that we make in regard to how we spend the time that God has entrusted us with, that He has given to us. Here's time. God says, this is for you. Use it as one who is living for Christ Jesus. Use it as one who is not a citizen of this world, but as a citizen of heaven. Use this time as someone who has a different mentality from everybody else. So, with that perspective, how do we use our time every day as Christians? It's interesting, I was reading and came across some information about Meriwether Lewis. You know, he was the Lewis in Lewis and Clark. They made the journey across the country. They were part of the Corps of Discovery. And they traveled and they came to the Continental Divide. And it was there, we're told, that on August the 18th, it was 1805, that Meriwether Lewis reflected in his journal entry on the evening of his birthday, and here's what he said. "This day I completed my 31st year and conceived that I had in all human probability now existed about half the period which I am to remain in this sublunary world, I reflected that I had as yet done but little, very little indeed, to further the happiness of the human race or to advance the information of the succeeding generation. I viewed with regret the many hours I have spent in indolence, and how sorely, and now, he says, sorely feel the want of that information which those hours would have given me had they been judiciously expended. But since they are past and cannot be recalled, I dash from me the gloomy thought and resolved in future to redouble my exertions and at least endeavor to promote those two primary objects of human existence by giving them the aid of that portion of talents which nature and fortune have bestowed on me, or in future, to live for mankind as I have heretofore lived for myself. Here is a man who is reflecting upon his life. He's at the halfway point as he sees it, and he is considering honestly, assessing how he has spent the past, and he's not happy with himself, and he's not happy with what he's accomplished. And he says, in fact, that if he had done a better job in the past, he would be reaping the benefits in the present and would be better equipped for what he needs to be doing now. But he says, I resolve to do everything I can now, from this day forward, to live for others instead of just living for myself. There's a lot of good thoughts in his reflection. We are a part of soldiers in a spiritual army. The Corps of Discovery was a specially appointed division of the U.S. Army to go and to investigate, to scientifically look at the plants and the animals and the geography, and to also make exploration relating to economic things. How is the Louisiana Purchase best exploited? How can we maximize what we have bought? Christians are part of a spiritual army, and we have been appointed by Christ to a work that far surpasses any human endeavor ever undertaken. We're involved in the task of seeking and saving the lost, making an eternal difference in the lives of the people that are around us in this world. We have been told, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, that no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So we have been called by Christ. We are supposed to be doing a work like no other. And in order to do that, he says, you can't get entangled with the various affairs of this life. I read an article in the New York Daily News, their online edition, dated March 5th, 2014. Here's a brief segment of it. The average American watches more than 5 hours of live television every day. More if you're African American, quite a bit more. Less if you're Hispanic or Asian American. For all ethnic groups, TV viewing time increases steadily as we get older, according to the March 2014 cross-platform report released by the Nielsen Media Rating Company. Once we pass 65, we watch more than 7 hours a day. The average American spends another 32 minutes a day on time-shifted television, an hour using the internet on a computer, an hour and 7 minutes on a smartphone, and 2 hours, 46 minutes listening to the radio. And then it says, work, sleep, meals, family, who needs them? So the idea is, there is a tremendous amount of time that is being spent by people in our society on entertainment or pleasures, viewing and watching. the television. And of course, they don't include, when they talk about these things that are left out, Bible study. When Jesus was teaching the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, he came to the point where he talked about the seeds that were sown in the thorny ground. He says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." So throughout the history of humankind, there have been people who have known God and chosen to follow God. This, of course, reflects that point that people learn about the truth, embrace the truth, obey, turn to God. But then things can happen where the snares of life entangle people and they become preoccupied with them, and then they don't become spiritually fruitful. In fact, their fruitfulness is choked out by these other things. And among those other things, Jesus mentions here, pleasures of life. That includes lots of different kinds of things, but it can most certainly include entertainment choices. And if it's true that the average American spends over 5 hours every day watching television and pursuing these other types of things, then where is the time spent on spiritual pursuits? And are we surprised when people aren't interested in studying the Bible because they'd rather have these other things that are more tasty, so to speak, more pleasurable than seeking out the spiritual matters of God? What we need to be concerned about, though, is if such practices we have allowed to creep into our own lives. The question is for us this morning, have we allowed pleasures of life, entertainment, to crowd out our own fruitfulness? Are we good stewards of the time that God has blessed us with? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." That's an obvious thing. A steward is one entrusted to take care of or manage the affairs or belongings of another person. So if we are stewards, that means we have been entrusted by God to take care of the spiritual things that He has put in our hands. Sowing the seed of the kingdom, of restoring and building up the church, all kinds of spiritual pursuits. Do we have time to do those things if we are spending so much time on the pleasures and the affairs of this life? And what are we teaching our children in regard to managing their time and how they spend their time? Do we allow them to develop habits through their growing up years that they are going to suddenly have to stop and cut off when they leave home? It really should be the case that we show them from a young age that there need to be, by Christian people, severe limits placed on pleasures of life, because the point is, we're forming habits and practices, customs, that we will stick with for the rest of our lives. And they ought to be based on the principles and teachings that God gives us in His Word. Oftentimes it's the case that way too much time is given young people to spend on pleasures, and they don't know much about work and serving others and growing spiritually and studying and reading the Bible. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12 a parable beginning in verse 42. Listen to these words. The Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household or give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed these things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So here is the faithful and wise steward. The master has said, here is the portion of food that you're to give to the household. You're to feed my household. And the servant was expected to prepare himself to do that work and to do according to his master's will. But in this case, there were some servants who did not do that. And the punishment then is described for them. Stewards are to be faithful to do the will of the master. They must take time to prepare so that they can then fulfill the work that they have been given. That takes a lot of time. You and I are children of God. And the time that it takes to prepare ourselves to help others learn about Jesus Christ is significant. The time it takes for us to learn God's will for our own daily walk in, the things that we must do and the things that we must stay away from, that takes time to learn those things. We cannot be healthy Christians, spiritually alive and well, if we eat for 3 hours a week, Sundays and Wednesdays, any more than you would be healthy if you had three little meals each week. You see, it takes time to develop and nurture the inner man. And that's far more important than even the outer man. You notice in the journal entry of Meriwether Lewis that he talked about how that he had done not much at all to further the happiness of the human race. We're talking about, as Christians, bringing joy to people's lives that is an everlasting joy. And in fact, the work that we've been given to do is a joyous work, to seek and to save the lost. Is there anything better than that? And then think about making a difference in people's lives. You're giving them hope to live forever in heaven where there is reward that is never ending. That's a joy you can give people. To make people happy in that way is a tremendous blessing and something that we shouldn't look back in life and say, you know what, I've done very little in bringing the joy of salvation to the people around me. He also talked about the need, and he hadn't done it, to advance the information of the succeeding generation, to help people coming on behind him that would know more, understand better. What are we doing in that regard? We have to educate ourselves if we are going to be able to take that information and spread it to other people. That's a significant thing. He regrets, he says, the many hours he spent in indolence. Again, reflect on what you do with the time each day that God gives you. That there is no greater time spent than in the spiritual things that God has given us to do. And that in fact one day we will give account for what we have done with the time that God has given us and how we have spent that time. Will we, the question is, live for mankind? Or thinking about it in this way, will I live for myself or I'm going to live for God? And live for others. Do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Or am I inwardly focused on me? But let's talk about then not only that the way of Christ requires a good stewardship of time, but let's talk about how that the way of Christ involves godly influence. We think about how that in life, influence is all around us, but if we are going to walk with Jesus Christ, godly influence, and that's this book, is going to have to be with us each and every day. We can't walk with Christ when we don't know Christ, when we don't know His will, when we don't understand His very nature and His mindset and the life that He has described for us and how we're supposed to live it. So we have to learn that way. As Psalm 119, 105 talks about, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." God's word is that ever-present influence upon our lives so that we can see and know how it is that we should live and make the right choices. So this book, it doesn't matter where your place in history is. People in the first century had what they needed through these scriptures to be able to live a life that would get them to heaven. And so it is for us today, whether things have changed technologically, whether we've made huge advances, and if that continues to be the case in the years and decades in the future, so be it. The Word of God is going to provide all the answers and the direction and the guidance that we need. And that influence can only be felt and will only be present in our lives if we will open the book. For good, God's words will do tremendous things for our lives. You see, there's good influence and there's evil influence. So for good, God's word will impact our lives in a positive way. We remember Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." You've heard the expression, "You are what you eat." Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, and I ate them." See, this is what we need to fill our hearts and our minds with. That's what we want to be. We want to be spiritual people with the right focus, with pure lives, not corrupted, contaminated things. We don't put toxins into our body. We don't put pollution into our body. We don't put bacteria that will infect and kill us into our body. We don't intentionally do those things. Sometimes we do those things spiritually. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found. I did eat them." You see, concepts, ideas, principles can come into us and either bring for us life or they can bring death. And so we are to study, we are to meditate upon these good things and frequently fill our lives and the lives of our families with the good things of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 is where the commandments were given by God to Moses, and Moses said to the people, "You walk in these ways and you teach them to your children, to your grandchildren." And he talked about all the ways in which you do that. Focus on the spiritual. God will influence you for good. We're told in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The will of God is what will transform the mind so that we aren't changed by the world and are corrupted by it. But if we bring all of the worldliness and ungodliness into our minds, how can we be spiritually pure and think good things? It doesn't work that way. That is counterintuitive. Good influence is what we need to seek after, obviously, but there are other influences in this world, for bad. Think about this. The behavior of others can influence us, and God addressed that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a brother in Christ was living in sexual immorality. He had taken his father's wife and was living with her in that sin. And the church wasn't doing anything about it. So here is sin that is known and it's within the congregation and it's tolerated. And then you notice that there's a spiritual point that is made by the Holy Spirit through Paul to us. And it is this. He says to them, to the church, "Your glorying is not good." They were glorying in this sin and not dealing with it effectively. Here's the point he makes. "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. The church is told, get rid of the sin that's in your midst. Why? Because that bad behavior, that evil, if tolerated within the church, is going to spread and affect others. The congregation will be influenced by this. Behavior of other people can influence our thinking and our behavior. That's why God says, don't allow that in your midst. Isn't there a lesson to us in regard to the kind of behavior we place before us in entertainment and the things that we see that are presented as good, that are glorified by the world, produced by people who are ungodly in their background and their beliefs and their convictions, who are as worldly as you can be, and they present those things to us and they set them down and we view and we watch or we listen to or we read such things? How is that compatible with the principle of purging out evil influence from your midst? It's unthinkable to God that holy people would do those kinds of things. And then there's the whole principle how that ideas, thoughts, teachings influence us as well. In 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 15, where Paul says to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But notice what he says after that. After you focus on the good thing, the spiritual, the pursuing God's word, he then says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And their what? Their message will spread like cancer. Ideas, concepts, teachings spread. They go from people's minds, what they hear, what comes in goes from your mind and affects the way you think, and then it changes you. It spreads like a cancer. If this is harmless, if there's no influence going on here, why the strong warning from the Holy Spirit to us? Notice what he says. Continuing on, their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have themselves, notice, strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So they themselves have turned away from the truth, and because of their influence, others are being led away from the truth. Ideas change you. He says, you stay away from this kind of thing. It's a great danger. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or morals. Things that we associate with, that we expose ourselves to deliberately, have an influence upon us. If it's good things, then it does good things for us and to us. If they are evil things, they do just the opposite. They take us farther from God. They influence us in a negative way. What are we choosing to set before us? You see, the final thing we notice is that the way of Christ requires godly choices. In Psalm 101, verse 3, there's a valuable principle where David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. I don't want evil sticking to my life. I don't want evil influencing me and changing to me so that I'm a different person. I don't want it cling to me. Therefore, he says, I don't set evil before my eyes. You could do that way back then and you can do it today. We can do it in different ways today. But you can set, you can deliberately choose to focus on and take into your mind evil through the eyes, through the ears. You can do that. But if you don't want evil to become a part of your life, don't do it, he says. That's the way of the righteous, God-fearing person. That will change and transform what we choose to set before us. First of all, there's the whole stewardship thing. If we're going to be powerful soldiers of the cross and spiritually healthy and fit, and if we are going to be warriors for Christ, first of all, the bulk of our time needs to be spent on spiritual matters. Whatever time remains that we do take for entertainment, it must be with the guidelines of understanding that we are influenced by what we take in. There's a principle we read in the book of James, where James, speaking about the tongue, says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? So there are some questions he poses concerning speech. But think about it in terms of not your tongue, but your ears or your eyes. If you are a child of God, just think about it in terms of that same principle. How consistent is it for the eyes and the ears that read the Bible, or that praise God, or that listen to the good things? How is it appropriate for those same senses to also bring in all the corruption, willingly and freely, to do that? Obviously, we can't escape sensing any evil in the world. We're here. But you can choose, can't you? And yes, we will be held accountable for our choices. And we will be affected by our choices. We must choose wisely and in keeping with the principles set forth in God's Word. Cleaning house needs to take place. We need to remove and rid our lives and our homes of all evil influences that corrupt, whether it be the various ways in which the media is used. It can be written media. It can be the television, the music. It can be the movies. It can be the games. All sorts of things that have corrupting influences. Remember the godly example of those who we read about in Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. Here were those who turned from evil to righteousness. And we're told that many of those who had practiced magic, this was their evil that they were guilty of, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. There is repentance in action. Change of mind brought them out a reformation of life. They didn't continue reading those things. They didn't even sell them for that great profit and then take it to the apostles and say, hey, use this for a good cause. They burned it, because it was an evil, corrupting influence, and they didn't want anyone to ever be touched by it. Instead, they themselves would become lights for the Lord and influences on others in the direction of Jesus Christ. May God help each one of us today to think about the way of Christ and our own entertainment choices, and make the kinds that would reflect closeness to God. Just a closer walk with Thee is what we sing. And that's how we need to live as well, in the choices that we make. If you're here, not a Christian, we urge you to obey the gospel. Put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Believe that He's the Son of God. Turn away from past sin. Confess your faith and be immersed for the remission of your sins. And then live that holy life for Him, so that you can bring others to Him and show the world just how different you truly are from what we have all around us. If you're a child of God and have strayed from the faith, if your living hasn't been what it should be, make the necessary changes. Return to your Lord. If we can help you this morning, we will, as we stand and sing.